Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Actually, good evening, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, November 13th, 2017, and today's show is titled Problems. I do apologize because last week I did a show called Heads or Tails, and today was supposed to be part two. However, I went to church yesterday, and it was such an amazing message, and it blessed me so much. I was like, heads or tails, gotta wait a minute. I want to get this out there first, because I think we have a responsibility if we learn something really, really good that blesses us and actually changes our life for the best. We have a responsibility to share that. So I don't want, you know, a week to pass by because I'm trying to do things so much my way and in order that I'm missing opportunity to share this, what I learned yesterday with you guys, because it was absolutely, to me, for me, it was life-changing. When I get into it, you'll understand. But quick intro, I am Shamika Tia. I'm 42 years old. I live in Georgia now. I am the mother of one male child. I am, well, he's grown now, but I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. And as I said before, today's show is titled Problems. Okay? It's going to be real good. I'm not going to be reading too much in scriptures today. Like I said, I'm just kind of sharing what you already have my notes from yesterday. So when I sit in church, it's actually a class for me. I take my pen and paper, my notebook, like I get serious with it. So I already got my notes. So I'm not going to be reading too much in scriptures today because it's already written out. But what I will do is read the seven rules regarding prophecy just in case we happen to get into scriptures. But for the sake of this show, not too much scriptures. Like I said, I already have my notes from yesterday, and the sermon was so perfect, like it's perfect as is. The only thing I didn't need to add in anything. The only thing I did add in was an intro as to why it blessed me so much. Okay, but I do want to read the seven rules regarding prophecy in case some scriptures does come up, and I like to read that at the beginning of all my shows. So this is seven rules regarding prophecy, and the first rule is to understand prophecy as history written before him. I don't know if I'm getting dried out. I don't know if I'm coming down with a cold. I don't know if it's the heat drying up my room, but I'm like extra thirsty right now. I don't even understand it. I really don't. But the first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule is to do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule is do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. Sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning. And then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number seven, let the Bible be its own interpreter. And I just wanted to read those seven rules because I always read those seven rules. And y'all know I am a creature of habit. And if I didn't read those seven rules, it would throw me off. But I'm not going to be reading that much scriptures today because I already have the notes from yesterday's sermon. All I'm doing is sharing with you what I learned yesterday. And it was, for me, it was really like, oh, my God. It was like one of those wow moments. And I'm going to tell you why. As soon as he started off, I knew it was going to be good. He introduced it as, the title of the sermon, which is called Problems. Of course, everybody was like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. And it was. It really was. But first, I am going to get into, I'm sorry, I'm trying to open this chat box. Oh, Lord, I'm not a multitask, but then I don't know how to multitask. Anyway, the guest dialing number, in case you want to get on the lines and press #1 and be a part of the show and share and talk, is 563-999-3682. Again, 563-999-3682. If you type SHY, and you like to just lay in a cut, you can stay behind the scenes on Blog Talk Com, I guess. I've never joined via internet. I don't know how to do that, but I'm sure you do, since you like to lay in the cut and join things via web, that is available to you. And you probably hear on Facebook Live, or if you are on Blog Talk and you want to see, again, you can just turn on your Facebook Live and see. All right, let me just open up the chat box. So if you are going to join, what you call it, on the internet, I have the chat box open. So I got the phone lines, 563-999-3682. I got Facebook Live. I got the chat box on Blog Talk. And what else I got? That's it. I don't want no more than that. I'm having a hard time juggling all of this. This is a little, it's too much going on. It's too much going on. All right. Okay, and if you do use the phones and you want to make a question or comment, you have to press pound one. If you want to just be on the phones, that's fine. I can see you. But if you want to talk, you have to press pound one so that your number goes, like it gives a flag that you want to unmute your mics, in other words. All right. I see there's some comments already coming in. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining, everybody. Thank you. I thought I saw some comments. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Someone named Sean Moore says, hey, how is it? He's no. Hey, how you doing, sexy? And by the way, is you single? If you is, can you send me your phone number so we can talk and get to meet and know each other better, baby? So hit me back and let me know what's up. CG Judah is laughing. You're probably laughing at Sean Moore. CG, oh yeah, he's putting those arrows up. Yeah, I know. Where has he been? Where has he been? He must be new. He must be new. Everybody know I like Mr. Willis. Tashant Rani says hi. Hi, Tashant. He's a friend of the show. CG Judas says, yeah. He must be new. I mean, everybody knows. I. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Moore. But I'm not available to send you my phone number and all that other stuff. But thank you, and thanks for listening. Okay, thank you. All right, so let's get back to the show. We have Princess Camilla says, hi, sis. Hey, queen, how are you? And then we have Isaiah Chamberlain that's waving. Hey, brethren. It's nice to see brethren among us. Tashant, you sent two memes. Is it memes or memes? I think it's called memes. I don't know if it's called memes or memes. I hear a lot of people saying memes, but is it memes? I don't know. But I still have to say I can't see you, as it looks like two boxes with question marks, Tashant. So I'm not sure if I don't have the upgraded memes or memes. Emojis. Okay. Where did I get memes from? I thought it was called memes. Well, I can't see your emojis. Okay. Now I'm grown. I don't know about all this. I'm 42 years old. So I thought it was called memes. All right. Anyway, see, you're throwing me off. I can't do you. I got too much going on. It's too much going on. All right. Let's get back to where, see, y'all didn't, where was I? Back to the show. So y'all throwing me off. Back to the show. Anyway, the sermon, I went to church yesterday, and it was the first time I was at that church. And like I said, the pastor preached about problems, and I knew it was going to be good. And I said all of that. I was going to, that's where I was. I was going to give you the definition of problems. Well, I didn't look that up until I started studying for this show. I mean, we all know what problems is, but when you, it's different when you actually look up the definition of something, you get more clarity as to what it is, because a lot of times you may find that we've been using words out of context and never knew, you know. But I looked up the definition of problems, and check this out. It says a matter or situation regarded as unwelcome or harmful and needing to be dealt with and overcome. That's the definition of problem, right? It also says a question raised for inquiry, consideration, or solution. I said, okay. Another thing, another definition was a proposition in mathematics or physics stating something to be done. I'm like, okay. And it also gives a definition of a difficulty. Now, like I said, just looking up those definitions of what problem actually is, I realized Sunday when I was hearing the pastor preach about it, I was approaching problems all wrong. I actually was avoiding them. I mean, I'm 42 years old, and here was a newsflash for me that I had planned my whole life around avoiding problems. I don't like them. I mean, nobody likes problems. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying me, I'm a little extra, extra don't like problems, and I will avoid a situation in a minute. If I foresee a problem, I'm gone. I'm out. I don't like them. That's the thing. That's what I learned, that, damn, I don't deal with problems. I just leave it, bye, I'm gone, and I don't deal with problems. And that's not good. And I realized I've been in a box my whole life because a problem will come up. I've missed out on opportunities. I let go opportunities because I don't like problems so much, so that I'll drop something that's beneficial to me if problems is attached to it. And it wasn't until yesterday during the service that I'm sitting here like, oh, like we use the term problem like it's a negative, like, oh, there's a problem. But when you look at the definition, let's see if we said, oh, something needs your attention, then we would kind of approach it differently. Like, let's say if I got a phone call right now and someone started off with, Shamika, I need your attention for a moment, and then got into whatever it was they needed my attention for, that would be totally different than saying, guess what, Shamika, we got a problem because X, Y, Z, because it comes off so negative and so, you know, to the point where I'd rather not deal with it if it's a problem. And maybe just be calling a problem. I never really understood what a problem was because we just take the word problem as, oh, it's something bad, and I got to remove myself out of this situation because this situation has now become a problem, when that's really not what it is at all. It's something has come up that needs my attention. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, I've been in great relationships. Something's come up that needed my attention by way of a problem. I'm out. Done. Because I don't want to deal with it. And that's bad. So actually, I should say, during the service, I learned something about my, damn, I've been avoiding dealing with stuff that needs to be dealt with. It's not going anywhere. All I'm doing is dropping that and picking up other stuff that needs to be dealt with until it's time to deal with that, dropping that, then picking up something else. It's always going to be things that need my attention. Just solve the damn problem. You know what I mean? So I learned that about myself, and I was just sitting there like, and I took about 3 pages of notes because I was so blown away with it. I mean, for somebody may be like, oh, that's simple, that's basic, and oh, you didn't know that. No, I did not know that. I avoided that my whole life, avoiding it. I had one child because I didn't want problems. So I'm thinking, they're not going to be no problems with no one kid. You got two, maybe they fighting. I mean, I had this all in my mind. How can I avoid problems? One kid solves that problem of, oh, this one did it. Oh, mama, he hit me. He wearing my clothes. Or not having enough money financially. I plan my whole life, I'm going to have one baby, one boy, so I don't have any problems. And I did. Okay, so You know, real simple. I've been really, really simple. I guess people look at me and I've been accused of, you name it, being materialistic, being this, being that. But if you really knew me, you would know. My friends know me. I am as simple as they come. Just what you see is what you get, because I don't like problems. I don't like problems. I don't like it. I can't stand it. It affects me differently than it affects other people. After yesterday, things have changed. Now I know, oh, I can just deal with it. I can just solve it. I can solve it. That's like somebody saying, how much is 1 + 1? And I go, oh, my God, a problem. Never mind. I can just say 2 and solve it. I can just say it's 2. How much is 3 + 3? 6. Hold on. Let me add that up. Let me solve it. Because that's what you have to do with a problem. You have to solve it. Some come right off the top of your head. Some you may have to pull out the calculator. Some may you have to call a friend. Hey, how do I add this up? This says 50% off, but I thought you needed to do, oh, but then my calculator doesn't have a percent sign. So sometimes you may need to call somebody and say, hey, I'm at a, you know, this, how do I do 15% off? I thought it was, you know, 0.15. You know, whatever. It's okay to call somebody and ask them to help you solve a problem. But for Shamika, that was like out of this world. No, like non-existent to me. No, I'm not going to call somebody and help them solve my problem. I'm just going to just leave it. It's a problem. I'm going to just leave it. I don't want to deal with it. And that's, I'm not going to say bad, but that's fear. That's fear. And fear has been masked into, I don't want to solve a problem. And I didn't even know it. You know, I've been living in fear of a problem. So that's not too good. That's not good at all. Y'all know how much stuff I avoided because, oh, that's going to be a problem. Let me think about that. And I'm one that I can think things through. I do have that gift where I can kind of foresee and, you know, look future and maybe even get a little future prophecy about it. And even with that, you think I would know, like, oh, okay, you know, God's got it. If he's showing it to me, I mean, obviously it's going to be something that, done, not dealing with that. I already see it. I can see it and nope, don't want it. I'm out. And dang, like, that's not what that was for. I was to solve it before that. Before you get to the bridge, solve it. So I just learned so much yesterday. So I'm going to go through the notes that he gave. I just wanted to tell y'all why it touched me so much so that way you can understand what type of person I am. I'm sure there was other people probably sitting there that it didn't really touch as much as it touched me. But what it actually did was freed me. It's almost like I felt like, like now I can live my life without worrying about problems. I can just solve it. It's so basic. It may sound basic. It was not basic when I'm sitting there like learning this, like for the first time. Oh my God, nobody really broke down what problems is. You know, it's always been so negative to me. And, you know, I'm the type that if something really bad is going on and happening, like I can't eat, I can't sleep, it's really bothering me. My body starts breaking down. So don't get me wrong. When I go through these steps, there are some people like me as well that have the spirit of discernment, that have gifts of, you know, interpreting certain things. You got wisdom, you got knowledge, you got understanding. You actually communicate with God, and God has told you to avoid situations. I mean, God, Jesus even avoided situations. There's just some things you have to avoid. Do not let this message deter your gift of discernment and what to stay away from and the things that you have dropped. Do not misunderstand this message as to go and start picking up dead things that you was already knew that you shouldn't have picked it up in the first place, but now you're hearing that, oh, you can just solve a problem and just start picking up dead things and trying to solve dead problems. No. I'm just telling you about me, and you got to fit, you know, you ask God about you. I'm just saying, what got revealed to me is that I've been blocking a lot of my blessings because they come in through problems. Most blessings are going to come through a problem, and I've been avoiding a problem, therefore avoiding the blessing attached to that problem, is what I'm saying. Anyway, so yeah, please don't misunderstand it. Remember, God is definitely not the author of confusion, and neither am I. So don't misunderstand this. Like I said, you've got your own gifts, and you shouldn't, if you have the gift of discernment, you shouldn't be listening to one message and then rearranging your whole life around that either. So that's not what that gift is. That gift, figure out, you know, how does it make you? Does it make you feel convicted, like, oh my God, I just threw this person away? Or does it make you say, oh, I hear what you're saying, but I still know what to avoid too? You know, that's fine, because that's how I am. I heard what the pastor was saying. I'm not going to start going backtracking, picking up dead things that I knew I was supposed to let go. I'm just saying, going forward, a lot of things have been falling in my lap present day that I'm not willing to deal with, because it comes with a little problem. And those are the things that I realize are blessings. And just because it comes with a little tug of war, I don't want to deal with it. And that is going to change, is what I'm saying. Or, continue to ask God. Like I said, you cannot go wrong if you are asking the Creator about the things and the problems that you take on. It's like taking on somebody homeless. Watch who you're putting up in your house. That may be a witch. You know what I'm saying? Or a warlock. I'm not saying, you should be asking God to co-sign what it is that you are doing. Nothing about this show is about that. I am talking about problems, okay, and how to deal with them is what I'm talking about. Please don't misunderstand the show. All right. Anyway, the first thing he did was I guess we are going to be reading some scriptures. The first thing he did was went to Matthew 23. So let's do that as well. Sorry, I realized I said I was going to be, well, whatever. Y'all know what I mean. Matthew 23. And I liked how he started off. So I'm going to, this keeps saying data storage almost full. I don't know why, because I thought I deleted some things. Anyway, Matthew 23. And he read verse 11. I see why I wrote that down. You know what? I'm not going to read the scripture I'm not going to read the scripture. Scratch that. If you want to and you can apply it. I wrote down the scriptures and he taught a whole sermon about it. But I want to just get into problems and the steps. So I still have to say I don't want to incorporate different topics, because what he taught about the servants and all that stuff is a slightly different topic than the problem. I want to just stick to problems because I'm piggybacking off of somebody else's sermon. So I'm just going to stick to the notes I have, okay? Anyway, so one of the quotes he gave was, even though we have a problem, make sure the problem don't have us. That was huge when he said that. I was like, oh, that's good. The next quote he said was, if you don't overcome the problem will overcome you. And y'all know that. That's huge. That's huge. The problems will overcome us if we don't overcome the problem. And then he went into the notes, okay? He said, problems are predictors. And so if you want to take notes too, I'm going to just go in order like how I wrote the notes down. This is number one. The other one was just quotes. This is number one. He wrote, problems are predictors. And then number one was, no problem will leave you the same. You will either be stronger or weaker. You will either be closer to God or farther from God. But you will never be the same after a problem. And I can't tell you that it's not 100% on point. I mean, look at everybody that had their heart broke early on. You ain't never been the same again. You've got over it slightly, but you have never really been the same again. You either became stronger or you became weaker, because that's a problem. Heartbreak is a problem, okay? It's really you made the wrong decision. And the heartbreak that came with it, that was the lesson. It didn't feel like it, didn't seem like it. Stop making your own decisions and ask God about the people that you hook up with. But heartbreak came with that, and that is a problem that you really will never be the same again after that. So that's what made me think of that when he, it's like each and every step he went through, I thought of, oh, my God, he's so right. Oh, my God, he's so right. Half these guys that can't commit to women or run around with multiple women, that's what that stems from. They had their heart broken early on, and then everything became F all these B's and B's, A-S-H-I-T's, and, you know, all of that mentality and just came with that. And unfortunately, that guy or girl, not it's not just guys. I'm just saying for us, I'm a woman. If you notice correctly, a lot of the guys that we see or liked or was dating, the ones that were running around with a bunch of women and don't want to settle down women were guys that had their heart broke early on, and it just kind of turned them. It just really turned them. And that's happening present day. That's why we got to be careful with the decisions we make. Or let's say you help somebody, because it doesn't even always, it's not always heartbreak. Let's say you help somebody financially, and they just use you, and then they be out after they get on their feet. Then you know what's the quote that you use going forward the next time somebody comes up and asks you for help? Nope, I ain't helping nobody, because last time I helped somebody, they used me, and then when I need other, I said they call them, and they never pay me back. You know, it's usually bitterness because of, you know, a problem that came up, and it either made you stronger or weaker. And that's what I thought of when he was preaching about this. It's just all these downloads just started. And not only was God downloading a bunch of stuff, he was also flashing back. That's what it was amazing. So I was like in church trying to multitask. I'm trying to hear God. I'm trying to hear him, multitasking in my head. I'm processing all this stuff and learning at the same time. And it was amazing. It was really amazing. But all those downloads just coming to me like, oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. So, yeah. Okay. So that was number one. Number two, how do you handle it is key, was the next thing he said, and that is so right. And again, that made me think of heartbreak because what do you think the ID channel is from? People that did not handle that breakup situation good. Well, if it's not with me, ain't going to be with nobody. Or, you know, somebody doesn't want to be with them or want to get a divorce, and they know they're going to be paying all this money, so they just rather kill that person. But this is people that here's a problem. Remember what a problem is. Here is a situation that needs your immediate attention, and how are you going to solve it? And that's key. So I thought, again, all these downloads just started flashing and how I handled that. Oh, whoa, how I handled that problem. Oh, my goodness, when that came up, how did I handle that? I was just sitting there like, that's good. That's really, really good. It's like I felt convicted and free at the same time. Convicted like, yeah, I did make a mess of that problem situation, but I had to deal with it after that. But, you know, it was just like we can either make a mess with it or a message can come out of it. In other words, I think I got that from, what's her face? What's that lady name? Anyway, but she always goes, God knows how to turn a mess into a message. That's kind of how you need to approach problems. Like, are we going to make a mess of it? Because it's already here. It's already in your lap. Okay, you got a problem. You can make a mess of it or, you know, get the message behind it. That's like teen children telling their parents they're pregnant. You know what I mean? Like, you can either make a mess of it, oh, my God, get up, and kick them out the house, or you can say, oh, God, okay, what are we going to do? Let's think this through. Let's think this through. Look at all the teenagers. That's another thing that made me think of it. Look at all the teenagers that was faced with that and then chose to have their baby in the home and then put their baby in a garbage bag or, you know, do something really, really crazy because here's a problem, right? Getting pregnant. I mean, I've been there. I mean, not the garbage bag situation, but I'm saying getting pregnant at a young age, it's a problem, you know? I mean, it's a blessing, but it's actually a problem. You're just fertile, you know, but and we doing, we supposed to do damsels, but we supposed to be married, but that's a whole other subject. That's how I feel about it. We acting in nature, right? We supposed to be married at that age and having kids at that age. I mean, we doing things right, but society says, society says. I mean, everybody in this Bible was damsels when they got married. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother topic about how I feel about it. But anyway, it's scary. It's scary because things are different. We don't have our own property. We don't have handmaids and all this help and all this other stuff. And so getting pregnant at an early age comes in the form of a problem. And how we handle it is everything. When you're kicked out the house, or you can have supportive parents that say, hey, listen, you know, I'm sorry you made this mistake. You know, I tried to avoid this for you. And your life is going to get harder, but you know what? We're going to pull through as a family, make this work, help you as much as we can where you don't ruin your life shouldn't be ruined because you got pregnant. You know what I'm saying? We talking about mature families. How are you going to handle this problem? Yeah, how are you going to handle this problem? You're going to kick your kid out the house? Or you going to, that's your grandbaby. That's your grandbaby. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what just happened. You know what it looked like? It looked like the chat box shut down. So I'm sorry, let me reopen it. My bad. Oh, so let me keep going. So, yeah, how we handle problems is crucial. The third one is problems have opportunities with them. Will make you, oh, a problem will make you inactive. But when you're active, the door opportunity opens. That was, ooh, spot on. Let me talk about that because I'm actually the kind of girl. When I have a problem, I'm inactive. Like I said, I just shut down. I don't want to deal with it. Leave me alone. I'm going through something. Like, I just shut down. Don't call me. Don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't care who it is. You know, leave me in my feelings. And again, all this stuff came up yesterday when the pastor was preaching because I thought about it like, wow, you know what? That's how I am when a problem comes up. I'm inactive. I kind of shut down. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to be around nobody. Like, that's just how I am. And I realize that is inactive. You know, opportunity when you are inactive. So I really thought about it like, wow, yeah, that's how I am. And I shouldn't be like that. Just because I have a problem, just solve it. Fix it. Solve it. And he brought up Ruth. Remember Ruth in the Bible? Lost her husband. Her husband died. She found herself in a situation, right? She had a problem. She's now a widow. But he explained that she keep working and, you know, being so active, that's where Boaz came from, you know. Her opportunity of having Boaz came up from her being so active. Yeah, I lost my husband. I can lay around and die, eat my last meal and die, or I can get out there and get active. That's how he broke it down. We can get out there and get active. And whatever it is the problem is designed to do, you don't let it take you out. Okay, I don't care if it's a real bad problem. It doesn't have to take you out. When he brought that up, I was like, wow, yeah, very good. So he also said, keep working and keep moving through the problem, whether it's in the problem, after the problem, whatever. Keep working and keep moving. And he said, don't miss out on the opportunity from being inactive. And he was so right. Because, like I said, through the years, fell along those lines. When I get a problem, I'm going to shut down. Don't shut down because you have a problem. We all have them. That's another thing that freed me yesterday, thinking you're the only one. Oh, I'm the only one that's going through this. I can never get a break. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody got problems. The grass... That was one of the things that he also brought up and said, the grass is not greener on the other side. There's problems over there too. Then he even brought up, you know, how there was problems in heaven and Jesus had problems and God had problems. Satan was God's problem. God had a problem. Like, everybody has problems. It's what is a problem? An opportunity. Excuse me. A situation that needs our immediate attention. You know what I'm saying? That's what a problem is. We have to understand that. Number four, problems let us know how blessed we are. I was like, you know what? Yeah, they do. You don't know how blessed you are until you have a problem. That freed me. Because I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Number five, problems equal lessons. We learn from problems. Every problem should be a time of learning. Boy, when he said that, I was like, oh, you ain't never lied. Because the last thing we want to do is be going into the same problem, the same problem, the same problem, the same problem. When you keep having repeated problems, it's because you did not learn anything from the last problem. Like, you should not be getting into the same situation or having the same problem over and over and over and over. If you are going to, the only problem you should be having over and over again is loving too much and helping too much. That shouldn't be your only problem, okay? Because that's called, you know, being a believer. That's just the, what, this is the way it is. There's people that's going to take advantage of us. And, you know, if they're on the other side, good makes them do evil. So, duh, that's part of being a believer. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you should be learning from your mistakes, learning from the problem. And if the problem was not your mistake, there's still a lesson attached to it. Please learn it. That's one thing I did try to do in every problem is learn. I analyze. Let's say if the problem was by way of relationship, I'll talk to that person. I'll be like, listen, what was my role, you know, in this situation? Not because I want to get back together, but because I want to know what is it about myself I need to work on. Like, I never, you know, not want to have that conversation with someone that I'm not in a relationship. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, how do we get to this level? We obviously broke up. It didn't work. But what was my role in it? You know what I mean? Like, that's what helps us grow as a person. Sometimes you got to ask people around you. If you're not going to be doing self-evaluations all the time, because maybe you just love yourself a little bit too much and you don't see the wrong you do, you may need to ask people around you, hey, listen, what is it about myself that I need to work on? What was my role in this situation? Why are we not friends no more? Or why are we not married anymore? Why do we have to get a divorce? You know, whatever it is. Business partners. Why are we not business partners anymore? What was my role? Was I, you know, not communicating enough with you? Did I, you know, breach a contract? Like, whatever it is, we should be always, 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 always trying to learn the lesson in the problem. Okay? Number six, problems are everywhere. The grass is not greener on the other side. I already said that, but yeah, he put that as number six. Number seven, problems are messengers. What is it that the Lord is telling me? Is the first question that should pop in our head when a problem arises. What is the Lord trying to tell me? What is the Lord trying to get to me? What is the Lord trying to teach me? And learn it immediately. What is it that the Lord is trying to develop in me? You know how God don't deal in simplicity. If a problem arises that you did not put on your, I'm talking about not those people that did, you know how people are, like they just cause their own problems. I'm not talking about those people. And nowhere in this show am I talking about those people. And if you are that person, stop doing that. I'm not talking about those people that cause their own problems. I'm talking about when problems just land in your lap. You're not doing anything to cause it, okay? the first question that should pop in your head is, what is the Lord trying to teach me? How is the Lord trying to develop me? What is God trying to bring out of me? Okay? Oh, let's say, remember certain behaviors are not fit for heaven. If you don't have that spirit of love, hard to get into heaven. Jealousy, envy, hate, prejudice, all that stuff is going to need to be dealt with before the sun comes back, right? So, remember I told y'all that time I had blood in my urine? It was last year, right? I said, I have blood in my urine. I wasn't sexually active, so I knew there was no STD or nothing like that. But I just had blood in my urine. And I said, okay, this is not a sexually transmitted disease, but because I communicate with the Creator, the last thing I'm going to do is start running to the doctors and have the doctors tell me what's going on with me when I can just go to the Maker and say, what's going on with me? Why is this blood in my urine all of a sudden? So lo and behold, you know, when you ask God a question, you got to pay attention for the answer. And thank you, Jesus, I was on a show one time, and the girl there, the host of the show, started, she started talking about prejudiceness. And she was a biracial girl, and she was talking about prejudiceness. And I kid you not, as she was speaking about it, and racism and prejudiceness, I started feeling like, kind of like I can't even explain it, but I know when God wants me to pay attention. But it felt like almost like chills almost. It was way more than chills, but I could tell when the Spirit is speaking in me, through me, in my body. Like, you know what I'm saying? As a believer, you should know when God wants you, trying to get your attention when somebody's speaking. You should feel something. Remember, He's in you, so you should feel something in you moving. And I did. And immediately, when she got finished talking about the prejudiceness and racism and the rudeness that she was experiencing, I kid you not, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, you sound like me. And I was like, you know what, I got to repent. I said, because now that I think about it, I was like, a couple of weeks ago, mind you, this had went on for 2 weeks where hair, I got blood in my urine. I said a couple of weeks ago, this white guy came up to me and asked me for $2. I said, but it was right around the time when everybody was sending those videos of the police brutality and how they was just like shooting up our black men and shooting us up left and right. And now we had kind of like this race war going on. And here this white guy coming out of nowhere asking me for some money. And I was like, wait, what? And my mom, I'm like, asking me for some money? You don't know what's going on? Like, ask your own people for some money was my mentality. Man, what? God was like, I cannot have my daughter. I cannot allow my daughter to have this hate set in her heart because she is not guarding her eyes and guarding her ears. Like, in this world, you got to know what you can take and what you can't take. Just certain things I can't take. Like I said, it affects me differently. Mind you, I'm the girl that planned my whole life not having no problems. And here I am scrolling and I'm watching problems. I don't even know what you call that. Life-changing horribleness. Every time I'm scrolling, yeah, it's going to turn you a little bit different. Remember the first thing I said, problems are not going to leave you the same? No, it's not the same. Each and every time that I'm watching this, I'm becoming, you know, something is setting in, to the point where I'm acting it out. what made that white guy even ask me for some money. You know what I'm saying? That was a spiritual thing in itself. You know why? I was praying for some money. So let me do the whole breakdown. When you have a need, you have to sow on whatever it is that need area involves. I needed a monetary blessing. I have to sow monetarily to free up that harvest. So for this guy walking up to me and being very specific as to $2, usually people be like, oh, you got some spare change. You got some. He specifically said $2 because I started processing this. You know, God will have a way of flashing things back that you missed. And I was like, oh, my God. I didn't even realize how specific he was about the $2. And it's almost like he just came right up to me. Like, this is a parking lot. I'm just running to the store. You know, he kind of caught me off guard because I'm just running to the store. At the time, I was self-employed, so my money was, you know, watch your money, watch your spending. You know, you got to count pennies, whatever. And so it wasn't that I didn't have the money. I think I probably had about $75 on me. And I'm running in to get some supplies from the beauty supply. So I was kind of caught off guard. So it was when I had pulled up there, he was in that parking lot and came right up to me. So first thing I'm thinking is, whoa, whoa, you're approaching me in the parking lot. That's scary. You know what I mean? And whoa, you white, you asking me for something? Like, it's like that whole hatred is what I'm going to call it, because that's what it was. Hatred. I let these videos and all this other stuff let hatred set in me to the point where I'm praying to my creator about a financial blessing I need. He's sending this guy for me to sow into to unlock my harvest, and I missed it. Hatred clogged my eyes, and I missed it. And you know what happens when you were guilty of something like that? The accuser will accuse you, and then you got a price to pay. You got crime to pay for, and that's what happened. The accuser went right in for the kill, started attacking my body, and thank you, Jesus, this ain't my first rodeo. I knew immediately when my body started doing that, something was off spiritually, and I said, Father, you're going to have to reveal the root to this. I don't know why there's blood in my urine, but the last thing I know I'm about to do is going to be running to these doctors and getting all these tests to figure out why this is in my urine. I'm asking you to reveal the root cause of this. I'm going to call it sickness. You know what I'm saying? Took about a week or two. Like I said, about 2 weeks. Remember I said about being inactive? When you ask God stuff, get out there. Get out there and be expecting your answer each and every day, every minute of the day. And thank you, God, that I didn't close up. And I was on the show that day to hear her speaking about prejudiceness and racism and all that, because I received that message so well. Right then and there, I repented on her show. And I was like, you know, I got to repent because, oh, my God. I said, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, 2 weeks ago, this white guy approached me and I just realized I had hatred in my heart and didn't even know it because I'm thinking, oh, damn, what the hell you asking me? I'm black. What you asking me for money for? Like, don't you understand what's going on? And I repented right there on the show, and I kid you not. Mind you, I had urine in my blood for about 2 weeks, okay? I mean, blood in my urine for about 2 weeks. I kid you not. After I repented on that show and hung up the phone, that was the last. There wasn't even a trace of blood in my urine ever after that. And I realized, oh, wow. That's when I hear people say they're sick, or and I'm not talking about colds and all that stupidness or being in violation of a natural law. I'm talking about, like, this happened, that happened. They're in violation of something, and they just are not judging themselves. With me seeing that urine in my seeing that blood in my urine, it made me self-evaluate. Okay, let me judge myself because I'm being judged here. This is obviously a judgment on me. Blood in the urine, ain't nothing good about that. I'm not sexually active. What is this about? you know, and if y'all know me, like my body is so sensitive. Like I don't have, you know, I don't get sick. I can maybe get a cold or something like that. Like nothing's wrong with my body. There's nothing wrong with me. So to have all of a sudden, you know, blood in my urine, that was huge for me. That was huge. Like, oh my God, like what is this? I thought this was my period. And oh my God, wait a minute. I noticed this when I'm peeing. What the hell? Like it was a little bit scary. It was scary. It was scary. I need to know what. No, I'm going. I need to express mail to heaven. Let's have a conversation about this. What is going on? Mm-mm. Oh, I could have ran to the doctor. Tested. Sampling out. Like, I'm the guinea pig. Try to find out what's wrong with me. And in the end, they're not going to know. There's no test results that are going to tell you you are in violation of a spiritual law. And the devil is accusing you of your crime, and you're about to do your sentence. That's not what the test results are going to show. I still have to say, thank you, Jesus. I judge myself. I try to. I'm not perfect, but I know when there's something spiritual going on with me. And the last thing I'm going to do is say, oh, it's just a coincidence. No, hell no. It was not a coincidence. I tracked that down to the T. I pay attention. And like I said, if you start paying attention, you'll just start seeing things more illuminated than the average person. You know what I'm saying? Some people just don't pay attention to stuff. But if you pay attention to each and everything, you'll see it. It's always crystal clear what's going on. Let me check these chat boxes. Okay. So that was number 7, right? Problems are messengers. That's an amazing way to describe problems. It's a messenger. What is about to be downloaded to me by way of this problem should always, always be our mentality. Okay. And then he gave another awesome quote, smooth sea will not develop a great sailor. Like a great sailor is because of all that, you know, pretty bad conditions during his sailing that now he knows how to anchor that, turn the sail this way, turn, you know what to do to adjust to the weather conditions, right? Number 8, problems are solvable. This is what I had never learned. I don't have to avoid them. I can just solve them. Another thing, there's a difference. Problems can come from the enemy, and problems can come from God. Here's the thing. When the problems are coming from the enemy, it is to take us out. Okay? Me having that blood in my urine was not supposed to end nicely for me, okay? It was not supposed to end nicely for me. Because what happens when people start getting all the surgeries and procedures and testing and all this other stuff, sometimes your body will break down during that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, what happened? Oh, he got surgery, got an infection, and died. Or what happened? Oh, you know what I'm saying? But all the time it was a spiritual violation. So the enemy was trying to take me out. Or when the problems come from God, is to lift us up, right? Then he said, God will give us anointing, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to deal with it. So when a problem comes up, know that God's already on that. And even if my thing is, even if it's coming from the enemy, you should already be equipped. That's what the whole armor is. What did he say? Put on the whole armor so that, like there was a reason behind that, so that you can withstand the wiles of the devil. What does that mean? There's going to be wiles of the devil coming at you, but you can withstand it. That's the same as solving a problem. But you can solve that problem. You can solve that problem. You are a solution provider. But what else he said? Oh, problems are good for us. Don't feel like it when you're going through. But problems is actually good for us, whether it comes from the enemy or whether it comes from God. Either way, it's going to be solved through you, and your response is everything. Not only what you do, when you do it. Your response time is everything. So you want to be responding immediately to problems. Right? What do you say? But we have to pass the test. So another question we should be asking ourselves, will my problem influence me or will the problem solver influence me? Make sure the problem solver, God, is influencing us, right? At all times. He spoke about the greatest discovery is during a problem. And he ain't never lied. I was like, yeah, right. Problems put a demand on your attention. Yeah, they do. They definitely do. And then he also spoke about why we're so valuable. He wrote, we have the ability to solve a problem is what makes us valuable. God allows problems because he believes in us. Like, remember, then he brought up the Joseph and the Gideon, but you know what I thought of? I thought of Job, because that's a man that had problems. And a lot of people always say, oh, God was testing him, blah, 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 blah. But like I said, it wasn't until the pastor said on Sunday, God allows the problem because he believes in us. Not that he's testing us. He believes in us. Remember, the accuser is the one that has the problem with us. And it's the accuser that wants to do the testing. And God believes in us, knows we're going to pass it, so he allows it because he believes in us. And I said, and that kind of freed me too. Not that I was one of those people, because I hear people say that all day long. What kind of God would allow this to happen to me? And that's really not what's going on. It's a little bit more involved than that. What it is that he actually believes in us is why he allows it. And again, he said what we allow, he'll allow. And what we disallow or lose, he will lose. So we don't keep that in mind when something's going on. Everything is, why would God allow this to happen to me? Because you allowed it. And he allows what you allow. So he never got that question answered. Job, same thing, you know. God allowed, because Job allowed. You read that when you get to like Job, I think it's Job 38, when God asked Job, have you commanded your morning so that the day spring dawn will know its place? Everything was, you allowed this, you allowed this. Did you do this? Did you do that? No, you did not. You allowed this. You allowed this. You allowed this. That's like your kid coming home from being bullied and saying, why did you allow this bully to bully me? Remember I taught you how to fight? Remember I told you if somebody hit you, you tell the teacher? And if the teacher don't do nothing, you tell the principal. And if the principal don't do nothing, then you knock them the hell out. Remember that conversation? So don't come home asking me why I let the bully you. Why you let the bully you. Right? Like, this is how this works. That's how this works. And I don't care if you're a kid versus an adult. You still allowed it. You still allowed it. Guarantee it. Think back. You allowed it. You allowed it. Anyway, then he wrote, God put us in a position to solve a problem, not punish us. Yeah, that's crucial. So problem equals a solution, and then the solution equals elevation. I was like, yes, exactly. Don't pray for the harvest. Pray for the laborers. Y'all not going to understand the rest of these notes. Oh, now getting back to Matthew 23. Mama, I tell you, he started off with Matthew 23. Now I wrote the punchline, and then he gets into the punchline of Matthew 23. You okay? So now I can read Matthew 23, verse 11. It says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And then that's how he plugged all this in, because he said, if you are not a servant, you are not a servant unless you are willing to fix a problem. That's what servants do. And I was like, oh my God, I never knew that. Like, yeah, that's what a servant's job is to do, fix problems. Like I said, the whole Bible came alive to me after after he preached about what a problem actually is. I mean, I never knew that. I never understood that. Here I am avoiding this situation. Life. I was avoiding life, you know? How do we avoid life? It's like somebody saying, I ain't never going to drive a car. Why? Because so-and-so got into an accident, and I don't need those kind of problems. What? You have to drive a car to get to the point A to point B. Like, that's how I was with it, avoiding all these problems because I don't want a problem. And, man, because I think I had it figured out. Mm-hmm. I thought I figured out life. It's in a box. It's in a box. A nice, beautifully gift-wrapped box, but it was still a box. Anyway, then he says, take your two fishes and loaves of bread and serve. Like, your job is not to worry about this and this and that. Your job is to take what you have and serve, and God will bless the rest and provide the harvest. That freed me up so much. Like, oh, my God, yes. Like I said, that, I don't even think I did it justice the way he really delivered it, and delivered it so powerfully. So, I mean, it was a really, really beautiful message. I hope I get the opportunity to go back there next week and get some more of that meat. When I say that was meat for you, it was. It really, really was. There's two types of pastors. One pastor that says, oh, I want to be a pastor. And then there's a, actually, there's three types of pastors. One that says, I want to deceive the flock, right? One that just says, eh, I need a job. And I hear that you can get tax write-offs being a pastor. And I'm good. I like to volunteer. I like to do good things. So I think I'm going to be a pastor. And then there's the callman of God that actually communicates and listens and hears and speaks and tells the sheep what God wants them to hear. And when they speak, deliverance follows that. So that's what happened yesterday. That was straight from God. Especially, how can I work for him if I'm trying to avoid problems, never knowing my damn job is to solve the problem? Like, you get what I'm saying to you? It's like I didn't know what my job was. And I just got the job description yesterday, like all these years. Just got the job. Oh, wow, that's been my job description to solve the problem? Like, I didn't know. I mean, oh, my goodness, I can't even tell y'all how free I felt. Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. Oh, then he gave us some things to take with us out of John 16:3. What time is it? It's 8 o'clock. I don't think I'm going to have time to do the whole 2 hours. Plus, I got a new girl today. I got some stuff to do. Anyway, John 16:3, he read from, and then he gave us 5 bullets. First bullet. Pay attention to what is spoken. Y'all know that's crucial. Y'all know that's crucial. And y'all should be speaking to God at this point. If you're not, open your mouth tonight and start doing it. 2, pay attention to your source. Pay attention to your source. I mean, that's, if I tried to explain it, I probably won't even finish the source. Pay attention to your source every time, everywhere, every day, daily. 3, don't let tribulation shake you. That's a huge one, because that's what it was doing. It was shaking me to the point where I was avoiding it because I don't want to be shaken. Okay. 4, be of good cheer and keep yourself stirred up. Always encouraging yourself and encouraging yourself. Remember, God is in you, so you don't really need cheerleaders all the way, all the time. You don't need cheerleaders and elders and your best friend. Like, you can do that yourself because God is in you. Like, don't be afraid to break away and get in that wilderness state and take time and hear clearly. Sometimes there's not going to be people around you, and you're going to need to know how to cheer yourself up, right? So, or fight through or pull through, which is you and God. So don't be afraid of that. 5, be secure and know your security is in Jesus. And I was like, yeah, it really, really is. Remember, it's not us doing the problem solving per se. We're just being willing participants to have our vessels be used to do that, okay? Right? Vessels. Vessels. Problem solvers. Servants. That's what we do. That's what we do. So, yeah, I didn't want to, while this stuff was fresh in my mind from yesterday, I didn't want to forget, even though I have the notes here, it's still been playing, and I wanted to make sure, you know, I get out all the details, because by next week, I probably will forget how I felt during the service. I still feel like that, like, oh, wow, I feel so free, and oh, my God, yeah, now I know more about this call. That's, in other words, it's like knowing more about your call. It's a bad misconception. And actually, I had got this message last week. What did I write down? I was supposed to do a video on it. I think this is it here. I'll find it and just do it. I'll probably do a video on that tomorrow. But what God had downloaded to me that day was, it's a bad misconception that when we are working for him that things is going to be easy, or when we are working for the church, things are going to be easy and just blasting easy, and that is the total opposite. So he gave me a bunch of downloads that day. I don't know what I did with it. I had a pile here. I had the day off yesterday, but I had a pile here. I know it's in this pile, but I have a pile here of pending shows or you know, like I have a whole folder full of pending shows, or that's shows where I'll just get like the topic and I know I got to study for it and put it on the list to do. So I have a folder for that. But that, I'll probably do a video for that tomorrow because it was really, really good. And it's called like a bad misconception of when you get called of God or you get chosen of God to be his servant and work for the kingdom, that things is going to be smooth sailing. Like, yeah, I get out of the demonic world and the secular world and I get to work for the Lord. Yes, it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be beautiful. Everything's going to be love and joy. And that is a bad misconception because it is still not that. It is still not that. Okay. It's not. It should be. It will be soon. How about that? It will be soon. It will be soon, but, you know, like I said, that just freed me. That just freed me in my daily walk and call with him, knowing all these things about problems. I'm definitely going to attack them totally different going forward. I had to hit a whole new reset button in that alone. So, and I do apologize that I'm not going to be able to do the whole 2 hours. I see it's almost 8:13. I do apologize, but like I told y'all before, I work and live on site at a ministry, and I just got a few things to do. We just got somebody new today, so I just got some things to do, so I do apologize that I won't be able to do the whole 2 hours. But let me see if I can go to the get to these comments. So Tashant, when I last left off, Tashant said, that's cool. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Princess Camilla says, sis, my internet keeps timing out. I don't know what you're teaching tonight. Will you leave video up, sis? Of course, Camilla, yep. I'll leave it up. Any videos that I've done in the past, you can always check it out. If you go on my photos, there'll be like a folder for all the videos I've done, so you can always access all the videos there. And thanks so much for joining, sis. I appreciate that. Tashant is still doing emojis, and they still got question marks on them. And I see one got lipstick. I don't know what he's doing. Tashant says, BRB. I'm not sure what that means. Princess Camilla says, hope you're said yes. I can't hear anything. Y'all can't hear me? I was going to say, don't tell me I did all this talking and y'all can't hear me. That would be horrible. Ricky Spite says, hey, soul sister. Hey, soul brother. Ricky's Bite. I apologize if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. It's S-P-E-I-G-H. He said pretty much. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. DJ Hot Sauce, hey, hey. Hey, DJ Hot Sauce, what's going on? DJ Hot Sauce used to be the DJ where I moved from. I'm telling you, I moved from the Poconos. Well, I used to work with a comedian. I used to help them with the tickets and stuff like that. And DJ Hot Sauce was the DJ. And boy, let me tell y'all something. If y'all in that area and y'all need a DJ, y'all need to look him up. Or if y'all looking for a quick weekend getaway, nice and affordable, y'all need to go out to the Poconos and check them out. Their comedy is hilarious week after week, every Saturday. Friday is R&B night. Saturday is the comedy show. And DJ Hot Sauce does not disappoint. If y'all got parties or whatever, baby showers, whatever event y'all got and y'all need a DJ, please get at him. I think he will go to New York as well, too. But that's him right there, DJ Hot Sauce, if you want to maybe shoot him a message and let him know where your event is and see if he can do it. Like I said, he's really, really good. Even if it's a children's event, he knows how to keep it clean, too. You know, I've seen him DJ for, like, children in the younger crowd where he knows the latest tunes that they like, but it don't have cursing in it and stuff like that. So even if you got like a children's party, look, you know, reach out to DJ Hot Sauce and see what's up with him, you know. But DJ Hot Sauce, thanks for joining. I appreciate that. I miss y'all. Y'all don't even understand. I really, really do. Shoot, I got to take a weekend getaway out there one day and come out there and check out a show sitting down from the other side. I really have to do that soon. Somebody named Cameron Smith says, I love it. The message is being received. So enlightened. Thank you. You're most welcome, Cameron. You're most welcome. Yeah, it was very well received Sunday as well from everybody in attendance. It was amazing. Dang, I hear a lot of walking upstairs, so I know that they're back, and I have to cut it short. Cameron says, yes, we can. Okay, good. She says they can hear us. James Bundy says, boy, are you a beautiful sister. With the capital B. Oh, thank you, Mr. Bunny. I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. My cousin Aida says, hello. What up, Aida? Yeah, I got to come out there and visit y'all, too. My family's in the Long Island. I haven't been out to visit since I moved out here, and that makes no sense. So I got to come out there soon and check everybody out. I didn't forget what everybody looked like. So I'll be out there. I got to just plan a trip and maybe just do like a little circle where start up in Long Island, Brooklyn, or start up in Brooklyn, Long Island, like however, but make sure I get to see everybody. And we should maybe all go to the Poconos. Like, how about that? Like, we all go to the Poconos and check out a nice show, like stay at the villa, like everybody just come down. Like, we got to maybe do something like that where it'd be like one-stop shop. And James Bundy said, like your style, class, and sophistication personified. Thank you so much, Mr. Bundy. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for joining today. And I do the shows every Monday from 7. Normally it's from 7 to 9. Tonight I have to go. Like I said, I hear the ladies are upstairs already. And I had a new person come in today, so I got to finish up that and get that situated. I didn't want to cancel the show because I knew I had a little bit of time, but not a lot of time. So I do appreciate that. But the message is finished and the message is clear. And I don't need to just ramble on just for the sake of waiting to 9 o'clock. That's all my notes. That's all my notes. So thank you so much, y'all, for joining. Please stay tuned for next week. I'm probably going to finish out the heads and tails. But if I don't do the heads and tails on Monday, I'll definitely do it. You know, like, just y'all just got to just keep up with me. Because sometimes if something else gets placed in my spirit and I have to prioritize that, then I will. But just keep up with me, okay? I'll try to do shows as much as I can, even if it's just straight Facebook Live. My blog talk I do only Mondays from 7 to 9, but then I may do like random Facebook videos, you know, just to just catch up on stuff without just having to wait to every Monday, okay? So just keep up. Thanks for joining. Yeah, I don't want to take too much time. What time is it? Yes, 8:20. Yeah, I got to go, y'all. But so much for joining. If you have any questions about the message or about anything that I've discussed today, just post a question here and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. I may not have all the answers, but guess what? I know who do. I know who do. So, or if I said something that wasn't clear to you, because I also shared this at Devotion this morning. I mean, I just popped up on the bullet points and what I had added in. I added in some of my wording and it was a little bit misunderstood. So I don't want to ever be misunderstood. So anytime I do a show, especially teaching about something in the Bible or spirituality, it's important that the understanding is clear in what the message is. So if there's anything that I ever say that you disagree with or you misunderstand, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and have me clear it up, because I'm supposed to do. I have a responsibility to make sure I cleared it up, and I will. All right, so I still have to say, let's say we got Sister Pam says, hi, beautiful sister. Hi, Sister Pam. How are you, queen? I see you looking beautiful in that green, girl. When I saw that picture, I was like, oh, my God, what an amazing picture. Every time I see a picture of you, it's amazing. But that was like, whoa, amazing picture. So I look forward to seeing that. I love every time you post pictures, I'd be like, oh, let me see what Sister Pam wearing today. But it was absolutely beautiful. But, yeah, thanks for joining today, everybody. And I do apologize, like I said, that I can't stay until 9. But if you have questions or comments, you can still keep the questions and comments going, and I will make sure I get to it, okay? And Sister Pam said, how great are you, too kind? Okay. I love you, Sister Pam. And like I said, you always looking good. I be seeing those outfits, and it looks so royal. Like, that's what it is. She looks like royalty when she takes pictures, and her outfits and everything just be flowing so beautiful. Like, not that you look like royalty, you are royalty, and it shows through your photos, Sister Pam. Yes. All right, everybody else, and including Sister Pam, thank you so much for tuning in. I love y'all, and stay tuned to next week for Heads and Tails Part 2. I mean, Heads or Tails Part 2. Well, like I said, if I don't do it then, y'all just got to just keep up. Like, just keep popping in. And the good thing about this is if you don't get to pop in during the shows are posted. So I'm not sure if you guys know that. The shows are posted. If you just go into the photos folder, you can access the shows from there, whether it's my show or Mr. Willis and our shows are in there as well. Or you can go to my, I have a separate page for my shows. It's called Shamika Blog Talk Radio Show, Remnant Peculiar Israelites, and I post all the shows in there as well. I mean all the shows from since the beginning when I started doing shows. All right? So thank you so much, everybody. I love y'all. Have a blessed week. It's Monday, right? The beginning of a new week. Don't forget to start using I Am and get your I Ams in order. Remember that? Did I do a show on that? I think I did, right? About the I Ams? Well, if I didn't, I will, because that should have been a show. But, yeah, get your I Ams in order. You know, I am great. I am successful. I am, like, whatever you want to follow, I am. God says whatever follows I am is going to find you, is the prophecy. Whatever follows I am out of your mouth is going to find you. Selah. Okay? Over and out, everybody. I love y'all.